Welcome to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660, your place for biblically informed conversation on issues that matter. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church located at 2020 Gibshoals Road in Greer and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. To find out more about our ministry and how you can make a tax-deductible donation, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. If you have a question or a comment on today's topic, call 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. Now, here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Welcome into Calling for Truth. This is Paul Dean. Kevin Bowling is here, and we're going to be talking today about business as mission, the power of business in the kingdom of God. In fact, that's the title of a book that Michael Baer has authored, and Michael Baer has worked in the field of organizational and leadership development for over 25 years. He's founded several businesses. We may mention some of those as we go along in the broadcast, but here's an idea of where we're going. While some Christian professionals dream of being freed from business to go into the ministry or see business as enemy territory to be invaded for Christ, others are convinced that Christian principles simply don't work in the real world. Well, Michael Baer in his book challenges each of these positions. He rejects the unbiblical thinking that ministry and business are by definition separate activities. He rejects the notion that our lives can be compartmentalized into the sacred and the secular. Instead, he guides business leaders in developing the vital characteristics of a kingdom business, the kind of business that will free people to live fully integrated lives and lead organizations that significantly impact the world. So, Kevin, I think practically speaking, this is a very important topic. We're going to be talking about developing a business that, well, really has kingdom goals in mind.
Mm-hmm. You're right, Paul. You know, a friend at church had given me a copy of Mike's book, as you just mentioned, Business as Mission. And he said, you know, you got to read this. It really makes some excellent points about looking at business differently than we had before. Now, you and I have discussed on the program some of these topics that we'll be talking about here today. I think we've, talked around them, maybe not specifically about them like we will today. But today we're going to look at the four characteristics that Mike Baer points out in his book of what a kingdom business is. And namely, we're going to look at, let me name those four characteristics, vocation, intentional, relational, and operational. Those are four characteristics that Mike says is key to being a true kingdom business.
Mm-hmm.
So without me elaborating on each one of those, let's bring Mike Baer into the conversation. I want to encourage our listening audience, you're certainly welcome to call in. And if you're a business owner, if you're a Christian working in business, a Christian businessman, and you want to know, how can you do this better for the glory of God, you're certainly welcome to call in and ask Mike some questions or give us your comments. That number is 1-888-660-WLFJ. That's 1-888-660-9535. And with that, Mike Baer, welcome into the program today.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate you letting me be here with you today.
Mike, why don't we start right with those four points that you make in your book. You mentioned, you know, that first of all, a kingdom business is vocational. And just a brief, you know, one-sentence summary that I would think about in thinking about being vocational is that the, you know, business is a good thing from God, and it can actually even be viewed as a high calling from God. Now, that's revolutionary to some people. I think some people have in their mind that business is almost anti-Christian. It's a necessary evil. It's, it's something we just have to do in order to put food on our table. But that's not the perspective that you take in the book. Tell us what you mean by vocational.
Well, it's really the fundamental premise of the whole book is that we, as biblical Christians, can come to the place where we view all of our life under the calling of God. You know, Paul exhorts us in Ephesians to walk worthy of the calling wherewith we've been called, and that's where that word vocation actually comes from. We speak of a person's vocation as their calling, and over the centuries, we've gotten into a mindset that sort of limits calling to something that only happens to ministers. It only happens to those who are in the professional ministry. And we, as an evangelical body of believers, we need to recapture this priesthood of all believers and get back to the place of seeing that all of our life is lived under the lordship of Christ, and that makes, frankly, anything we do in obedience to Him a part of our calling. And so, in this sense, for business owners and people who work in the business world to start seeing their life not as second tier or something that is some substandard sort of Christianity, but it is the calling of God in their life, and to live it with the same passion that I would expect to see somebody in the pulpit.
Mike, this is Paul. Just to jump in for just a minute, I appreciate where you started. You know, Paul does say, as you noted a moment ago, that we're to walk worthy of our calling, and ultimately, you know, that refers to salvation. We've been called out of darkness into light, been called unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think you make a good point, and I have conversations with folk about this all the time, that our calling doesn't stop there. You know, we're called to salvation, we're called to sanctification, we're called to, you know, be salt and light, we're called to impact this world for the glory of God. And what a lot of folk fail to realize is that if God has called you, for example, to be a businessman, that is part of the calling that God has put upon your life. He's called you to salvation. Now He's given you this business, this vocation, you know, whatever the case may be. And in that, He's called you through that medium to be salt and light, to walk worthy not only of the call to salvation, which means glorifying God, but specifically it means glorifying God in the particular business that God has called you to do. And I think if we could get hold of that, then not only would our attitudes, but maybe our ethics and even our productivity, et cetera, all of these things would be revolutionized. And the difference is, and I don't mean to ramble on, but I think sometimes people forget that we, again, if you bring another verse into this, we're not, you know, of the world, but we're in the world. And so we're in the world to be culture influencers for Jesus Christ. That's not, you know, we don't pull back into our own little fortresses. We're out there in the business world, but we're doing what we do in that context for the glory of God.
Yeah, part of that, I couldn't have said it better. I think that seeing this as flowing out of our salvation is really is the key to it. And that's why in the book and whenever I speak on this topic or whenever I counsel a business owner, this is where I start, because if we don't see whatever it is that God has called us to in life connected to our salvation, connected to our sanctification, connected to our obedience to Christ, then we are automatically going to fall into what people have called that sacred-secular dichotomy that, you know, I've got my Sunday life and I've got my Monday life, I've got my church life, I've got my business life. Well, the way I see Scripture is that we have one life, and it's absolutely to be lived for the glory of God and in obedience to Jesus Christ. And so to take any piece of my life and separate it out is really disastrous. And, you know, we don't think of it with church. We see that as a divine institution. We don't think of it with family. We see that as a divine institution. But there are other divine institutions such as government, enterprise, academia. I mean, there are institutions that God created and calls men and women into where that is the place they're meant to bring glory to Him. To abandon that and come running into some other sphere is really to leave the battlefield.
Mike,
and I don't think we have that option.
Yeah, Mike, where do you think that secular sacred dichotomy came from? Was it that people look at business and they think, you know, there's so much maybe they even put it this way, so much evil that takes place in business, you know, that so many bad things happen there. There's abuse of people and taking advantage. You think of sweatshops and things like this, or you think of just people have a lot of bad experiences in the business world. Is that where you think this dichotomy came up with, you know, that people all of a sudden said, wait a second, that certainly can't be of God?
Yeah. Well, I don't think that's where it originated. I think it goes way back into the separation in the 3rd and 4th century of clergy and laity, frankly, where we had professional Christians and everybody else was kind of in the stands watching the game. You know, it's like my old mentor used to say that.
Yeah.
You know, football with 22 men on the field in desperate need of rest, and that 50,000 people in the stadium in desperate need of exercise.
Right.
And I think that's sort of the historical roots of it. But you raise really a very insightful point. Is, you know, if you look at business in America or around the world, you're going to find corruption.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to find greed. You're going to find abuse. I mean, we're not that far away from Enron, WorldCom. You know, Tyco. I mean, these stories continue. You know, every few months they seem to come back up, and so you do see corruption in the business world. The question is business the cause of the corruption, or is the human heart the cause of the corruption?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I maintain that the issue is my heart. Greed can come out in the church. Greed and selfishness can come out in my family. It can certainly come out in my business or in government or, you know, any other institution. So. You know, I don't see it as business being the problem as much as business is the place I express the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And if Christ has not conquered the greed of my own heart, mm-hmm. then, yeah, my business practices are going to be corrupt because I'm corrupt.
Mm. I think, too, Kevin and Mike, I'll get your comment on this. Not only can you trace this dichotomy back to the professionalization of the clergy, you know, you have the priesthood versus the laity, as you said, and part of what we're talking about here today, really, in terms of your view, can really be traced back to, and you mentioned this earlier, the recovery of the notion of the priesthood of all believers. That's a Reformation doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I think in contemporary evangelicalism, while we might affirm the priesthood of all believers, many evangelicals, and I don't even know that they would even use that term, at least some groups I'm talking about, but they would, I think, overemphasize a text like, you know, come out and be separate from them. And I alluded to this earlier. A lot of Christians, let's put it that way, have developed a fortress mentality. You know, we're not going to do anything that the world does. We're going to hunker down in our own fortresses. We're to be separate from the world. And anytime we have to do something that the world does, well, that by definition is worldly. And they must live with this incredible tension in their minds of having to do, quote unquote, necessary evils, when really, I think what you're getting at is the biblical teaching is that, look, and I go back to this verse, we're not of the world, but God has put us in the world. And again, it's not business that's evil. It's people involved in business. And you have people who are, you know, unredeemed. You have people who are redeemed and people who are redeemed who are not as sanctified as they should be. Of course, none of us are. But the bottom line is we are in this world and we are here to influence this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not this fortress mentality that we've got to adopt. We're to be separate in the sense that we're not to engage in sin, but we're to be God-glorifying businessmen, football players, you know, postal workers, farmers, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Paul, when you think of it that way, you've got to go back to the Garden of Eden and you realize that work predated the fall.
Yes.
You know, there's a big misunderstanding that among many evangelicals that work is the curse.
That's right.
And
I've heard this so many times.
The curse is fruitless work.
Mm.
But Adam and Eve were placed in the garden to work it and to tend it. In fact, you know, one of the sort of tongue in cheek things I mentioned in the book is I believe that Adam's business card would have said world manager. Because that's what he was given to do. He was actually, you know, in what's known as the creation mandate, he was to subdue the earth,
yeah,
and to rule over it. And it was meant to be his dominion. And the fall corrupted everything that was before. It corrupted marriage. It corrupted the family. It corrupted work. It corrupted everything imaginable. So, you know, that's one thing when we think about work being a necessary evil. It really isn't. It has evil aspects to it because of the fall, but it,
yeah,
predates the fall. And the other thing you've said a couple times, and it's so critical that we keep this in mind, is that to be a focused people and to carry the sense of mission into the business community, that we see ourselves sent to the business world just as I am sent to a foreign field. You know, the essence of the Great Commission is not you know, have a building to invite people to come to. The essence of the Great Commission is to go and to be among the people, distinct, separate, unique, peculiar, Peter says, and yet how can I have any meaningful impact in the world around me if I'm not in the world around me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mike, so we've talked about the fact that business in itself is not evil. You know, it's okay to be involved in business. In fact, we've even gone further than that and talked about it being a calling from God. If God has put this upon your heart, if God has made you a Christian businessman, then flourish there. But in the book, you go even a little bit further than that, and you say that business is a good thing from God. And you even give some cases in the scripture of business owners or business people in the scriptures. Go ahead and elaborate on that a little bit, if you would.
Okay. Well, you know, when you mention that phrase, business is a good thing from God, Kevin, I'd love to set that in just a bit of context. Mm-hmm. We actually, way back in the early 90s, started working over in the Central Asian republics that had just broken away from the Soviet Union to help poor, persecuted minority Christians start businesses. So they could support their family, support the local church. And the very first thing that we ran up against was this deep-seated belief in a sort of post-Soviet world that business was evil.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, we literally had to go back and change our curriculum that we taught over there to have an entire day titled Business is a Good Thing from God. And so that's where that phrase comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had to be able to lay out a biblical case that it is legitimate and it is a high and holy calling. And then once we got through that, you could begin to look at examples in Scripture of people that were honored businessmen. I mean, you know, Abraham, he was a businessman. You know, he was a very, very successful, wealthy businessman. If you look at Lydia in the New Testament, if you look at, you know, you've got Amos the shepherd. Some people would argue that Joseph was a real estate speculator for, you know, on Pharaoh's payroll. I mean, there really is a long list of people that, if you just step away and ask the very obvious question of what these people do for a living, you discover, well, they were in business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they weren't all Matthew, the corrupt tax collector.
Right.
You know, many of them had very, very honorable businesses and very successful. And they were never, ever asked to give them up. They were asked to surrender them and to sanctify them.
Mm-hmm. Good point. Even Paul with tent being a tent maker as well,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yeah, let me just inject a question here. Just, I don't want to go too far afield, and I really believe the last 20 minutes of our discussion answers this question. But, Mike, I just want to maybe get a thought or two from you more particularly. What about those who would say, well, now, wait a minute, are you guys trying to develop a theology to meet, well, just where we are in American culture? We're business-oriented. What about the things that the Bible has to say about the love of money and greed and all of those things? And, you know, a lot of people might object to, you know, just the concept. And there is a biblical answer, and I think that's what we've been articulating. But what would you say specifically to that?
Well, I two things, and that's an absolutely brilliant question. The first thing is that when you look at a passage where Paul, for example, says to Timothy that the love of money is the root of all evil, in that very same context, he goes on to speak to the wealthy. Mm-hmm. He doesn't tell them not to be wealthy, but he warns them very, very sternly. He warns them, don't trust in their wealth, but to be generous. And that leads us to what I think is really one of the core principles of this whole thought process, and that is to see the purpose of business. It is wealth creation. But it is not to make me wealthy, and there's a gigantic difference between those two outcomes. I remember I was speaking at a conference in Florida on this, and there was a woman in the audience, and I could just tell from the look on her face, she was very, very disturbed by this whole conversation. And so I called her and I said, "Look, I you know, your face is disturbing me. You've got to explain what your concern is." And she said, "Well, I just don't get this God wants me to be wealthy thing." I said, "Well, okay, stop the presses, because that's not the message.
Mm-hmm.
I don't for a moment believe that this is about God wanting me to be wealthy or legitimizing the American business culture or anything of that nature." I said, to say that business is meant to create wealth, the question is, what do you do with it?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with that wealth?
Yeah.
You know, do you spend it on yourself? Are you a selfish, greedy person? Or do you turn around and invest it generously, seeing it as, you know, something that is a gift from God to be shared with the church, to be shared with missions, to be shared with the poor, you know, to be shared with society. I mean, it all comes back to what is the end and what is the means. And the end is the service and glory of God. And that's the, if we lose sight of that North Star, Paul, then we lose sight of everything that makes this make sense.
Right. Paul does say, work hard that you might have extra to give to those who are in need.
Exactly.
You know, Mike, that's an excellent place to make a little bit of a transition. We could probably talk just on vocational for the rest of the program, but folks are just going to have to buy the book. I'm sorry. But the second thing in the book that you talk about is a characteristic of a kingdom business, then, is that it's intentional. And this starts to really get involved here, because I start thinking to myself as I was going through the book, okay, if you're a Christian businessman, I can hear him answering us or saying back, you know, okay, well, I am a Christian businessman. I try to treat my employees right. I give a fair wage for a fair day's work. I try to come up with a good product, and, you know, I don't gouge my customers. It's a fair price in line with my competitors and all of these things. How does your book go further than that? When you say intentional, that there's a clear kingdom purpose that needs to be defined for our businesses, what do you mean by that?
Well, I think it is what I think of as the sine qua non. It's the thing without which we can't really be said to have a kingdom business. You know, all of the things that you were describing, a fair wage and honest scales and quality work and you know, all of those various things, they're very biblical. I mean, the Proverbs, for example, are filled with admonitions on
sure.
how to manage a business in a way that honors God. But underneath that is this very fundamental question of, if God called me to this business, if God has called me into this, which is what our first point is, then why has He done so? You know, all of the workings of God have a purpose. You know, God is a purposeful God. The Scriptures are filled with the message of God's ultimate purpose for His glory and for the salvation of man. And so when you look at that, it only follows that you would say, well, you know, is there a purpose for my business? I mean, is it more than just creating wealth? Is there a specific reason that this specific business exists? And I think the answer is absolutely yes. I think the Scriptures teach very clearly that there is a very specific will for my life. There is a very specific will for my business. There is a very specific purpose for which everything that God has called me into exists. So what I am challenged with, and I challenge business owners, is to go on a quest to discover, to really ask of God in a very open and forthright way, Lord, what is it that you want from this business? Why did you bring it into business, into existence? Is it just to provide for my family? Is it just to provide jobs for the community? Or is there something larger? And where I think that goes, Kevin, is if you look at Scripture, you realize God is about two things. He's about bringing glory to Himself in this creation, and He is about saving His people from their sin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is just, there are thousands of other things we could say, but that
sure.
is the scriptural message, what people will refer to as the doxological and soteriological purposes of God. That's
mm-hmm.
what He's up to in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if that's what God is up to, and I as an individual am called to be connected to that, which I don't think anybody would debate, it seems to me that my business should also find a connection to that. And that's what I mean by that when I say intentional. There should be a deliberate, well-thought-out, prayerful, biblical connection between my business and what God is doing in the world. And I think to discover that is the greatest quest that a Christian business owner can go on.
I would think, Mike, that you run into very often, you can tell me whether this is the case or not, but you would run into a number of business owners who would settle for just the few things that we've articulated already. They would just say, well, you know, there's a bunch of guys that work with us, and because of my business, I am providing them with a livelihood. And a lot of these guys are Christians, and so they're able to give to their churches. And so they're supporting churches. In fact, we even tithe a little bit from our business as well. And so we support the church as well. And not only that, you know, there are people that we deal with that are not Christian, and we invite them to go to church periodically. And maybe they even go a little step further, and they say, you know, every morning we start with prayer in our business. How would you are you saying it's got to go deeper and beyond that even?
I'm saying it can. I think you've said people settle, and that's what I'm fearful of, Paul, is that there would be a settling. We could have a whole other radio show on how I think American Christians have we've settled for something less than God's best.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly in the business world, you know, one of the best books ever written is called Good to Great, and the opening chapter of that book talks about the enemy of greatness is good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true in a kingdom business. If I settle for these things, all of which are good and legitimate and important, I may be missing out on something far greater. And I'll give an example. I tend to be a reverse learner, and what I mean by that is sometimes I think God puts me at the finish line and then tells me to figure out how I got there.
Mm-hmm.
We started working over in the former Soviet Union. We now do business development work all over the world in unreached people groups, using business as a means of entering the country, places we cannot go otherwise,
right. Yep.
Restricted access countries, equipping local Christian business people to, or Christian in general, persecuted Christian minorities to start businesses so they can have an economic basis for their church. We discovered while we were doing that, that they had a much more, I refer to as an integrated view of life than we did. You know, we were seeing business as a tool, and they were actually integrating business into everything they were doing so that they began to see that God would use their business to win their communities. God would use their business to not only support the church and provide jobs, but literally to penetrate these pagan societies with the gospel.
Hey, Mike, we got to hold you.
Muslim societies, Hindu societies, Buddhist societies.
Wow, Mike, we got to hold that conversation right there just for a second. We've got to take a very quick commercial break because there's some businesses that support Calling for Truth, and we want to give them the opportunity to share their information here for just a minute. We'll be right back. Join the conversation, 1-888-660-WLFJ. Be right back.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Hey, need a little hope and encouragement for your car? Hi, I'm Ken Gamble, host of The Driving Line, heard every Saturday morning right here on Christian Talk 660. No matter what kind of problem you have, check engine light, brake noise, engine performance, anything that can go wrong with your car, your answer is only a phone call away. You can put the advice you hear on Saturdays to work every day at any North Hills Auto Service location or at our pre-owned sales lot on Pelham Road. That's The Driving Line every Saturday morning, 8 to 10 on Christian Talk 660.
You'd be surprised at how many women are heartbroken in their marriages. It might be that you are one of these women. You may simply have some unbiblical expectations, or the issue may be deeper. Hi, this is Jane Johnson with the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling. Call us for encouragement. Call us for direction from God's Word. Call us, the Providence Center for Biblical Counseling, at 864-420-2688.
Southern Stone is proud to be a sponsor of Calling for Truth. Their greatest desire is to magnify Jesus Christ in all they do. Southern Stone has been providing quality craftsmanship and excellent service in many fine upstate communities for over 10 years. To find out more about the benefits of stone and how to achieve your custom look, call Southern Stone at 864-879-3008. That's 879-3008. Southern Stone, a proud sponsor of Calling for Truth.
It's been said, as the church goes, so goes the culture. If we want to see real change in our world, the church must be awakened and equipped to make a difference. This is Paul Dean with Calling for Truth. The things you've heard us talk about on the radio can be brought to your church. A seminar dealing with theology, cultural engagement, Christian worldview, biblical counseling, or even church reform might be the complement to your ministry you've been praying for. Call us to set something up at 420-2688.
At Christian Talk 660, we know how important prayer is to you and your family. We also know that you value the opportunity to pray for others. That's why we've created our online prayer center. There, you can not only join your faith with others by lifting up their prayer requests with yours, but you can also give God thanks for answered prayer by sharing a praise report. Become a part of Christian Talk 660's growing community of committed prayer warriors. Click on Online Prayer Center at ChristianTalk660.com.
God has really blessed our ministry at Strides. Hi, this is Dr. Everett. 30 local children depend on our scholarships to solve learning problems, but funds are low, so we've had to turn some away. Will you sponsor a child? Just $65 can bring a child up one grade level. If God lays it on your heart to help a child, call 246-9898. Our website is www.stridestutor.org. Strides is a nonprofit organization.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. We appreciate you tuning in today. For more information about our ministry, the Biblical Counseling Center, and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Welcome back in to Calling for Truth. We're talking with Michael Baer. He's written a book entitled Business as Mission: The Power of Business in the Kingdom of God. And we've said a couple of things to this point. We've said that if we're going to have a kingdom-oriented business, well, it's got to be vocational. We've got to have the understanding that business is a good thing, that it comes from God, and it can be viewed as a high calling from God. And so we see the calling to our particular business in the context of our calling to salvation, in the context of our calling to be salt and light in this world. The second thing we've said is that if we're going to have a kingdom-oriented business, well, we've got to have a business that's intentional. A clear kingdom purpose should be defined. And these two points, these two major points, come from the book, Business is Mission, that Michael Baer has written. We've got a couple of other points to make, and Michael was in the middle of answering a question. We had to go to the break. We want to pick it up right there, but let me just summarize one more time with this statement from Michael himself. He says this: if God has called us into business, our goal is to discover why and act on that purpose. As we do so, God's creation will be blessed and He will be glorified. Well, that puts our work in the larger context of the creation mandate, the cultural mandate, the dominion mandate. Back in Genesis, you know, be fruitful and multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion over it. And God has given us work prior to the fall. Michael pointed this out a little bit earlier. The result of the fall was that work is laborious and oftentimes very, very difficult. But work, in a sense, is a blessing from God. We need to view it that way. And as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whatever we do, we need to do it all for the glory of God. So, Michael, with that, welcome back into the broadcast. Again, thanks for being on the program. We're talking about business as mission.
Great. Thanks, Paul. I think to pick up where we left off, we were talking about this concept of intentionality and the way that we were able to discover really in very small persecuted Christian populations in some very, very dark places around the world, an integrated view of where business fit in. Men and women who saw business, in their mind, it came with a kingdom purpose. I don't know any other way to say it. I mean, I didn't think this up. I discovered it watching a group of Christians in Central Asia in particular. As we began to ask them, why do you want to do this business, that they began to see strategic use of their business for God's kingdom. And that really began to resonate and sent me back to the scriptures and say, well, you know, that makes sense, because really, if it is a high and holy calling, it makes sense that there's a calling to a purpose. And so I should discover that purpose, just as I would encourage any believer to discover, you know, what we think of as God's will for their life. I think that same question gets asked in terms of, you know, what is God's purpose for my family? What's His purpose for my business? I think to go through life and not wrestle with that question runs the risk of missing out on a much larger scope and a much larger impact. And so that's what we mean. We say kingdom purpose. We mean literally to be able to say, I know how my business connects to what God's doing in the world. And that may be something as simple and yet powerful as being a shining light in the midst of one American city, or it may be a company that uses its business products and services to go into countries that no missionaries can get into and establish a gospel presence with business. And that's what we've been doing. We as a consulting and development company, that's our role. Our kingdom purpose is to use what we know about business to help believers in other countries start businesses for themselves. But there's dozens and dozens of answers to this I haven't thought up yet.
Mike, you were saying that, I think, originally in contrast, maybe, if I heard you right, in contrast to the mentality of, hey, I'm going to expand a business overseas into another country, and basically just the idea of using it as a Trojan horse to, you know, set it up over there, but really your design is just to preach the gospel in that area, and this is the only way that you can get in. If I hear you right, you're saying that we need to take it further than that. The Trojan horse idea, I guess, is okay, but really look at it in a more, to use a good business term, robust way, that it integrates, you use that word a couple times, integrates more deeply than just giving us an entrance through the door. So I want to hear you expand upon that, but before you do, I wanted to just mention one that I saw in action. There's a group in Peru, Trujillo, Peru. We had an opportunity to go there to help build a church, and so I took a small missions team there. And I was so impressed with what they were doing. Wes Baker is the fella heading up to work down there, and it was just fantastic. They decided that they would have a school that would teach English. That was one thing. And then they had a medical facility associated with the work, and they had carved up the area into little parishes, and they had planted churches within these little, this parish approach that they had. And so there was X number of people within the parish that that pastor was responsible for, saved or unsaved. He was responsible to know what was taking place in the life of the people that were in that parish. They had a great deacon ministry that was there helping to provide food for the people that needed it and those types of things. And by the way, in their churches, they had two collections. They collected for money for the church first, and then a second plate or a box or a basket went around, and they collected food in the second one, and that food was then used for distribution during the week. But then they did something that I thought was really unique. They said, what can the people here of Trujillo do better than anybody else? You know, kind of this in search of excellence type of mentality. And I came out of the business world, so I read those In Search of Excellence and Good to Great and all the leading books that were out there as well. But he said, what do they do better than anybody else? And they found out that there was a certain type of wood that was found only in that area of Peru, and that the Peruvians were very good on making doors. And as they made doors, this fellow, this Wes Baker, brought somebody in who was able to help them manufacture these doors on a large scale, ship them to the United States for distribution, and then have the proceeds go back to Peru in order to help these people establish a business, which then they were able to give to the church, which then they were able to be self-sufficient. I mean, it was the most aggressive missional work that I've ever seen in my life. Is that the type of thing that you're talking about?
That's exactly the kind of thing I'm talking about. And when you see something like that, and you recognize how God has laid all these ingredients out for his people to be sufficient and empowered in any given location in the world, you begin to just marvel, frankly, at just how his providence takes care of these things. And that's a classic example. I mean, we've got some of our graduates around the world, one in Indonesia, and he's the only believer in his community. The local imam endorses him as the only motorcycle repair shop that you should frequent, because even though he's a Christian, he's the only honest one, is the way the imam, the local Muslim holy man, puts it. That's his, in his mind, Usman, his kingdom purpose is to be, you know, we keep using the term salt and light, but is to be that ethical, honest witness in that dark place. That he's very clear that's why God put him there. We have a friend over in Central Asia, Republic of Kyrgyzstan, by the name of Karuchbek, who, this is another story, maybe I'll write a book on this one, was kicked out of prison for preaching the gospel, if you can imagine such a thing, and started three businesses and is now the circuit-riding pastor of over 20 churches in a totally Muslim area. But it's the business that he has used to penetrate that society. You know, you made reference earlier to the Trojan horse, and of course we all know history. The Trojan horse was a trick.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I react very strongly to, and I think we all should, frankly, is missions is not a trick. It's not It's not meant to be a facade. And when we send into a country a fake business person, what we refer to in our world as a shell business, we really, I think, are dishonoring God. We're certainly disrespecting the locals who we think are too stupid to see through us.
Yeah.
And they do see through it, brothers. They do. Mm-hmm. And when they do, it creates this distance from them. And the gospel is shut down compared to going in with a real business that makes a real product or provides a real service, provides real jobs, and in that context to begin to share the gospel, that makes people sit up and take notice. There's reality and there's truth and there's honor in that.
Well, there you go. You've hit the nail on the head, Michael. We're going to take one more break. We've got a caller on the line. We'll take him right after the break, too. Appreciate all of that. And we'll be back in about 2 minutes. You still have time to join the conversation. 1-888-660-WLFJ. Stay tuned to Calling for Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. For more information about our ministry and the resources we offer, log on to callingfortruth.org.
Finding a restaurant that appeals to your entire family can sometimes be a challenge. It has to be a place where there's something on the menu for everyone. Don't worry, we know how you feel. That's why at Christian Talk 660, we offer inspiring biblical teaching and compelling Christian talk on our menu. More than just the blue plate special with a side of Brussels sprouts, we're providing you with ministry for your family's mind, soul, and spirit. So if you're hungry for another helping, stick around. We've got more of what you're looking for. Christian Talk 660.
It's been said, as the church goes, so goes the culture. If we want to see real change in our world, the church must be awakened and equipped to make a difference. This is Paul Dean with Calling for Truth. The things you've heard us talk about on the radio can be brought to your church. A seminar dealing with theology, cultural engagement, Christian worldview, biblical counseling, or even church reform might be the complement to your ministry you've been praying for. Call us to set something up at 420-2688.
This is Pastor Johnny Touche. Mount Moriah Baptist Church is privileged to sponsor Calling for Truth. They represent what we believe as a local church, that Christ is sufficient for salvation and sanctification, and that the Word of God will bring hope for humanity, and that our fullest joy is found in worshiping Christ. All Sunday service times are at 10:15 a.m. and 7 p.m. If we can help you with any needs, please call us at 420-1228.
Paul, anyone who knows you love pizza.
Isaac, I do indeed, and whenever I'm out at the Woodruff Road area, I go to Stevie B's. It's the all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. Now listen, this buffet goes all day long. They're open till 9 o'clock in the evening. They've got over 70 different kinds of pizza. 12 pizzas are out all the time. Listen, when you walk in, the folks are friendly. They'll make you a fresh pizza. They'll make you one at your request. I love it.
Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville.
Welcome back to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship are dedicated to making disciples who make disciples. If you would like more information on our biblical counseling materials, log on to callingfortruth.org. Now here are the hosts of Calling for Truth, Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
All right, we're in the last segment of Calling for Truth. We're talking with Michael Baer. He's the author of Business's Mission, The Power of Business and the Kingdom of God. You can find that book on Amazon.com. We'll ask Michael about perhaps another website momentarily. We've been talking recently about establishing a legitimate business, going into another country, for example, another part of the world, establishing that business for all kinds of purposes in that local area, but ultimately for kingdom advance. It's not a shell business. It's not a deceptive kind of dynamic. We would eschew that, even as the scriptures would. But at the same time, it may be that you're called to be in business or work for someone else's business right here in our context, the United States of America. And as so, you are called to be a shining light in a dark place. So all of these things are part and parcel of what we're talking about. We'll get Michael to elaborate upon that perhaps. But before we do that, we're going to go to the phone lines. Greg has been holding patiently. Greg, welcome into Calling for Truth. Go right ahead.
Thanks so much. I wanted to ask the guest about industry chaplains and other types of Christian witnesses in the workplace. I did some recent study regarding the revival and the great transformation of South Korea, which has gone from a very small percentage of believers to becoming a powerhouse and a very strong Christian presence in South Korea. And I wanted to find out what his familiarity with that case might be, or what comments he might have with regard to how that might be a model for us, or how we can be more effective in
Greg, that's a great question, and if I understood you correctly, and please correct me if I didn't, the use of the chaplain approach in the business context, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, historically in Western Europe, particularly in England and in the United States, there have been, up until the last 40 or 50 years, there have been many companies that employed a chaplain-type approach. They either had a strong relationship with a local pastor, or in some cases actually employed, you use the term industrial chaplains, actually employed men to serve in a ministry pastoral-type capacity in the business context. Unfortunately, in America, we have moved very quickly into a postmodern world where that is very, very rare. But Korea, you use South Korea as an example. That is a culture that has absolutely figured out the integration of business and Christianity. Many of their largest companies are openly evangelical and employ a staff or a series of staff ministers who provide all kinds of counseling and evangelistic and other pastoral ministries to employees of that particular company. Today, there are a number of businesses / ministries that provide corporate chaplains to the companies that desire it. It's probably vanishing in North America, but fundamentally, it's a very solid model and reflects an understanding of integrating business and faith.
Mm. Great question, Greg.
I have a question. Just to follow up on that, is part of the reason, as you referred to the moving away from that type of relationship in our culture, is due to the postmodern mindset of our culture and how there's so much hesitation to mix Christianity or any religion with secular functions and so forth. But I do know that there are organizations even in the U.S. that offer chaplains and so forth. Are there some guidelines or some counsel that you think that would help facilitate those relationships in the future? I guess it's probably the same type of thing that would apply to apologetics and dealing with talking about the how Christianity is accepting and open and not a religion of exclusion to the detriment of other beliefs, but as Christians and believers, we're open to ideas. We just don't want to reject our ideas for some sort of false idea of tolerance or some sort of value of rejecting Christianity because we claim to have a truth, whereas people deny that postmodern secularist.
Yeah, it's a very complex question. Let me see if I can give a short answer to it. I think that it's going to start with the business owner having the courage and the compassion or the grace to be willing to take a, as you use the term, inclusive, biblically inclusive view to his or her business. And what I mean by that is willing to take a stand for Christ, but not in a way that is communicating rejection to people. And I think that's a very narrow razor's edge to walk. Most of the people, frankly, that I know in the business world are to the place now they won't even say Merry Christmas anymore for fear of offending somebody. And the flip side of that, to go to an extreme, I wouldn't want to have a unnecessarily rigid chaplaincy that didn't acknowledge the need for grace and mercy in people's lives. So I think if a business owner's got the courage to do it, can find a ministry that has a biblically compassionate and evangelical spirit, I think that could be a profoundly impactful work inside of a company, large or small. Many have done it very effectively.
Great questions, Greg. Thank you very much for your questions today.
Sure. God bless you guys.
All righty. Mike, good answers there. And obviously, Mike, we're not going to make it through all four of your characteristics, but you know what that means. And I think our listeners knows what that means, that they're just going to have to go out and get the book, Business as Missions. We mentioned that you can get it out on Amazon.com. Is there any other website, Mike, that would be helpful for people to go to? When I Googled this idea of business as missions, you know, this has taken on a life of its own. There's like a whole movement started out there now. I don't know if it all is in keeping with the way that we've been discussing it here today. And so is there a place that people can go to learn more?
Yeah, there's a couple of great blog sites that you can go to. One is just businessasmission.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's an organization out of Dallas that is trying to pull all of these thoughts together and to give some sort of clearinghouse to thinking on business as mission. The other is to go to there's a group out of Grand Rapids called Evangelistic Commerce.
Mm.
Evangelisticcommerce.org is a very biblical organization run by a good friend of mine named Tom Suttick, and I think those would be two sites. In our world, we actually don't put this out on a website because of the fact that we work in restricted access countries, so we actually don't advertise a great deal about what we do.
I see. I'm out on your Business as Mission site right now, or the businessasmission.com site that you referred to, and there's a number of resources out there for our listeners. There's courses that you can attend. There's learning from experience and testimonials that are out there about how people have done this. There's a Business as Mission network, blogs and such that you can get involved in. And so a lot of resources out there for anybody who is interested further in this subject in following up on that and finding out some information there. Mike, that's pretty much all the time we're going to have for today. We want to thank you for being on the program here with us. And we hope maybe in 08 sometime we might be able to get you to come to the area and put on a little seminar or something for us.
Sounds wonderful. Thanks very much for having me today. I've enjoyed it.
Michael, we appreciate you. And I'll just point out as we kind of close things out, you get very practical in the book. You talk about how folks can create a kingdom foundation, articulate a kingdom direction, identify kingdom targets and objectives. You talk about, you know, focusing on a few pivotal strategies and action items and scheduling and accountability and all of that. So just wanted to make sure that folk knew how practical the book really is. And let me say this as well. You're a businessman. You've got a track record. But at the same time, you're thinking through these things biblically. You've got a Master of Theology degree from Dallas Theological Seminary. So we appreciate everything that you bring to bear upon this subject. We appreciate you being on the show today.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Paul.
All right.
Thank you. Paul, I want to just give a quick program note for tomorrow's broadcast. We're having a lady on from your church, right? Shelby
yep.
is scheduled
Shelby
to be
Canahan,
with us tomorrow.
That's right.
And she's going to be talking about ministering to cancer patients.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically, Shelby has a ministry around this time of year where she, around Christmas, you know, where she goes in and ministers to cancer patients,
mm-hmm.
Distributes Bibles, and just a wonderful ministry. And she'll be in the studio with us tomorrow talking about
that. Well, that's right. And she's a dear, dear lady. I've known her for a number of years, obviously, and God has sustained her through all kinds of health issues. And she still struggles with certain health issues, but her faith is intact, and she lives her life for the glory of God. And you're going to want to hear part of her testimony, really all of her testimony that she gives, but she'll only be able to give part of it. You're going to want to hear that. You're going to want to hear that broadcast. So join us tomorrow on Calling for Truth.
Thanks again for tuning in to Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660. To contact us for more information about our ministry, the resources that we have to offer, or to make a tax-deductible donation to our ministry, call 864-420-2688 or visit us online at callingfortruth.org. Calling for Truth is an outreach ministry of Providence Baptist Church and Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship. If you have enjoyed today's program, be sure to join us each weekday at 1 o'clock for Calling for Truth with Dr. Paul Dean and Pastor Kevin Bowling on Christian Talk 660 WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.